So that's next weekend. There's going to be a few children in our services. If children stress you out, we only do this once a year. We want to have you here. Come. It is a fun Sunday, and I encourage you to come. And if you have friends or family in the area that have kids, tell them to come. It's just a great time to connect. Also, if you've been at Adventure for a while, you've heard me challenge you to bless your neighbors. Begin every day with prayer. Spend time eating with your neighbors and coworkers, listening, serving, and sharing your Jesus story. How many of you have ever heard that acronym here at Adventure? Okay, cool. So now's the time for us to put it into action. And Brian has provided us a great tool for us to reach out to our neighbors. And I want to encourage you to do what we talked about last week and practice some crazy faith and reach out to coworkers and or neighbors that you know there's no way they'd come to Christmas Eve service. That's the person you need to go to. And invite them, get enough tickets in the resource center if you don't have enough in your programs, and reach out to your neighbors. And here's how you do it. I'm not saying go pick a fight. I'm saying if you've been praying for people this fall, like we challenged you to last December, you got to believe that God's going to answer those prayers. And you go out by faith and reach out to those very neighbors, friends, and coworkers by faith. This is what it means to do it, be a disciple. You don't just grow in knowledge, you go and you reach out. And so will you accept this challenge? Okay. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, you know that we have a big opportunity in a couple weeks. And we just pray that your spirit of courage, your spirit of love and self-discipline will be with us to help us bring hope to our neighbors, friends, and coworkers by inviting them and inviting them to come to our Christmas Eve services. And help us do this with great joy and your confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. So I would, if I was you, grab these right now and put them in your purse or your wallet and have them ready, because you don't know when you're going to have an opportunity to share an invite with someone. So do that right now. I'll give you a second. None of you are moving. Go ahead and do that right now. Okay. Go ahead and take those. Yeah, let's do that now. Let's try that now. We're doing it now. Some of you are just looking at me like, no, we're talking to you. Yeah, let's get it done now. Don't you just like getting stuff done? You don't have to think about it anymore? Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. All right. We did that. All right. Now for the rest of you that haven't done it, I'll wait another minute. Go ahead. Having fun with you. Welcome to the first of a several-week series called Stressmas. Stressmas, where our goal is to alleviate stress in your life. Can I have an amen? Amen. Let's do this. We're going to try to transform Christmas from stressed to blessed. Stress to blessed. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need some blessing. Because there's plenty of stressing. Here's why this message is important. Because you can't drive fast enough to get all your work done right now, can you? There's never a parking lot available, the one you want. Well, sometimes you get lucky, right? E-cart, that's the way to go, e-cart. Sometimes you got so many crucial deadlines this month, it's a little overwhelming, isn't it? And sometimes all your lists you're planning on the weekends, it's all oral. There's no like written list. It's like you find out on the fly, right? Am I the only one that finds out on the fly? Gentlemen, be with me. Okay, so there's a lot of stress, a lot of deadlines and expectations we don't even know of. We don't even know what they are. But they surprise us. And there's variables, stuff that happens this month nobody warned you about. It creates stress. And sometimes you can, during this time of month, you can waste a lot of time getting worried and stressed out about things that don't matter. And miss the thing that really matters, like Jesus. The one that really matters this month is just Jesus. Jesus. And yet there's an interesting cycle in his ministry. And that cycle is this idea that he's often missing. He disappears. No exaggeration. And so the question we're going to ask today is, where's Jesus? Because it's easy this month to miss him. Once we have a manger scene we have out front of our house. We'll set it up here soon when we get time, the 23rd. And I'll never forget, one of my neighbors came over to our manger scene and touched baby Jesus and said, who is this? And I was like, That's American culture. Who is this? And he, his parents, one of his parents was raised in the church. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't know who baby Jesus was. Maybe he knew who Jesus was. But it's easy this month to be going so fast that we don't even know where Jesus is. And Jesus can go missing. In North Dakota, in the early 1940s, during an oil boom, there was a family that was really thriving, and a mother who was very conscientious, very, very other-centered, very concerned about her community. Are any of you, do any of you have a mother like that or a wife like that? And she bought a family nativity and discovered that she had two baby Jesuses included in her family nativity. And one of her kids said, oh, twins, it's wonderful. But she, this mother, some of you are married to someone like this, was so conscientious and concerned and merciful and compassionate. She was concerned there's somebody out there with a nativity scene without Jesus. It's easy to miss Jesus. True story, 1943, North Dakota. So what she does is she goes to her back then five and dime drugstore and says, hey, I've got two Jesus, baby Jesuses in my nativity scene, right? Who has time for this? People who don't want you to miss Jesus. That's who has time for this. So she goes to the department, the five and dime store, and she says, I want to leave this little sign, little cardboard sign that says, if you're missing baby Jesus, call. And she gives the suffix to her number. You know, back in the 1940s, it was just a suffix, the last four numbers. Small town. Miss those days, don't you? So she leaves this, and this is early December. So throughout Advent, she's praying for whoever's missing Jesus. And her husband's getting a little perturbed, all this over-conscientious thought. I know none of us are that way. And as the month goes by, she continues to trek down to the Five and Dime store in 15-degree weather. And one night, Christmas Eve, she tells her husband, go to the Five and Dime store, just check, Christmas Eve, and just check if someone's missing Jesus. If there's a nativity scene there that they haven't sold yet that's missing Jesus, just check. So he does what every good husband does, what his wife wants him to do. He goes down there with his son, and nope, Jesus is there. He comes back, and his wife's missing. And he's like, what's going on? It's Christmas Eve. And she's missing because she got a phone call from a gal 8 blocks away. She went down there, and she said, how can I help? And this single mom, who's heater, her furnace had shut down in 15-degree weather, had two kids freezing in blankets, had very little food, no gifts for her kids, said, I saw your note at the Five and Dime drugstore, and I'm missing Jesus. And she said, you mean you this little baby, this is yours? She said, no, I don't have a nativity scene. She said, but my family is missing Jesus, and you seem like somebody that could help me this time of year. And she's like, I knew I was right. And she started taking care of this family and put her husband and his friends on this Christmas Eve, and for 2 days. They took care of this family, provided them food, got that furnace working that night, and made certain that someone in their neighborhood, someone in their community, wasn't missing Jesus. So this month, let's make certain that we don't lose Jesus. Here's what I want to suggest, is that what causes people to miss Jesus is the same thing that caused Joseph and Mary, the father and mother of Jesus, the paternal father and mother of Jesus, to misplace him. Distractions. Distractions. So there's a true theme in Matthew chapter 4. The crowds lose Jesus. Jesus often goes missing in his ministry. He leaves them behind and he spends 40 days alone in the desert. Christmas is the time of year of it. How many of you would take 40 days alone in the desert? Sometimes it sounds nice, doesn't it? In Matthew chapter 14, after Jesus identifies himself as the exclusive Messiah, the disciples lose Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, after Jesus spent the whole night in Capernaum healing the sick that were coming from surrounding villages, the next morning he gets up before the sun comes up, goes away to a lonely place and prays, and everyone has lost Jesus. No one can find him. And he said, I must go preach the kingdom of God. In Matthew 4 and 8, a mob that was divided over Jesus' true identity loses Jesus because he does this frequently. He slips right through them without no one noticing. He disappears. In John chapter 5, when the religious rulers accuse Jesus of healing the man who had been lame since birth, 38-year paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, the religious leaders go after him and he disappears. No one can find him. Jesus is often missing. And then one of the most famous stories, the most famous story of Jesus gone missing, when his mom and dad were leaving Passover, one of the biggest religious holidays, the Thanksgiving of the first century Hebrew community. And they leave Jesus in Jerusalem. And their story, I think, is a template. It's a metaphor for how we can get so busy thinking Jesus is following our plan, our agenda, thinking Jesus is right along with us. And what we forget is that he didn't leave us. We left him. And so the question we're going to answer today is how? How do we find Jesus this month? Luke chapter 2. The size and significance of Passover is comparable to what we experience here in the U.S. 55 million people traveled during Thanksgiving. And if you had the pleasure of being on I-5 between Wednesday and Sunday, you saw the significance and the size of a Passover-type experience, a Californian Thanksgiving, where the people of Passover, this is that week that commemorates the exodus of the Hebrew community in about 1400 B.C., this is that where they celebrate the Passover lamb. Everyone comes to Jerusalem. And then at the end of the week, on Friday, everyone departs. And they depart in big caravans, big groups of people. Typically, it's guys with guys and girls with girls. And so they split up. And Mary and Joseph experienced this. Remember, Mary and Joseph had, at one point, Jesus is 12, they had 5 sons and at least 2 daughters. Small family. And it would be easy to not be able to keep up with 7 kids. But, and they faced that. There's chaos in the crowds and in this caravan of Passover. And so here's the text that helps us find Jesus if we've lost him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. They've got a 90-mile trek. So let's pretend they've made it just short of Auburn. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. They traveled in groups, family, fun, safe. Not something you would do today, but a safer community back then. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. That wasn't a quick Uber. That's another 30 miles. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. FYI, Jesus asked, according to the first century documents, 307 questions. So next time your kids or grandkids ask questions, give them a break. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, and she scolds him. This is a reprimand. We often do it when we feel guilty, don't we? It's just easier to get on to somebody else. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Can you imagine 3 days not being able to find a child? 3 days. Something significant about 3 days in Jesus' ministry, isn't it? Why were you searching for me? Question from a 12-year-old. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? I would have loved to see Mary and Joseph's face right there. So yeah, we lose things. We lose our wallets. We lose our keys. We lose our iPhones. One family member last week shared with me they lost their iPhone while being at the car show in San Francisco. The problem is their iPhone turned on their Tesla, so they actually lost their Tesla for a short time, but they found their phone and we're all good. But it's one thing to lose a phone or a wallet. It's another thing to lose Jesus. Let's take it to the next level. It's another thing to lose the Creator, God. That's who we're talking about, Jesus. So where's Jesus? If you've lost him, firstly, if you feel like maybe personally you've kind of slipped away in your faith, how do you find him? First step. What if Jesus is findable? How do we find Jesus? The first is, Jesus can be found where you last left him. And so, thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. How do you find Jesus again if you feel like you've slipped? You reverse your direction. In fact, Jesus himself, when he's speaking to his beloved disciple, John, and speaking directly to the church at Ephesus, he says this. He says, hey, I love your hard work. And I work with church planters here. This family, we're hard workers. We wouldn't be here if we're not hard workers. I love your hard work. I love your perseverance. I love your high values. But I've got this against you. You've left your first love. You've left your first love. And then he says this, do the things you did at first. Do the things you used to do. Now, I know in a marriage that if I want to rekindle my marriage, it starts with me thinking of Melissa and doing things for her. I always envision, did you see Princess Bride? I always envisioned the farm boy. Remember what the farm boy said to Princess Buttercup? As you wish, right? As you wish. Those are the magic words, men. Okay? And when I think of how am I going to rekindle my love for my wife and our romance, it's an as you wish. And so what that means is it's flowers. It's taking her out to dinner to a place that she's going to really enjoy. You know, there's Wendy's. And then there's like, that'll make a difference, right? You just do the appetizer meal at this place, but you do it. But it's over-delivery for her. It's doing the stuff I used to do when I was fighting for her, right? Okay. All right. Ladies, amen? Okay, all right. All right. So how does that relate to my relationship with Jesus? How do I rekindle that relationship with him? How do I reverse my direction? I think the first thing to admit here is put yourself in the position of Mary and Joseph. They're 3 days away from finding their son. Two days of travel to Auburn and back. And then it appears they may have arrived at night, another day looking for him in Jerusalem. That's a lot of angst, wouldn't you agree? That's a lot of Christmas stress. So understand when it comes to reversing your direction, if you've kind of slipped, if you're a Christian, you've kind of gotten to where your faith in Jesus is no longer an as you wish, it's like whatever if you really need me to, then it's going to be a process getting back. It's not overnight. There's a process involved if you've slipped. And let me just speak to Christians, okay? I think in our culture, with so many choices and options that we have in four seasons, in winter, spring, summer, and fall, it is very easy to move away from those essentials of a daily time with God. It is very easy to move away from weekly fellowship with other Christians where I'm letting Christ speak to my heart through other people. It's very easy for me to move away from regular worship because I've got so much going on. It's very easy for me to be so technically busy that I don't take time to open the Word. It doesn't take long to get there, to slip. And it doesn't take long to start making decisions about, hey, am I going to read my Bible today? Well, let's see what other options there are. Am I going to go to fellowship? Am I going to be in an adventure group? Well, let's see what else is going on, other competing interests. Well, I have a little FOMO. I might miss out on that. Or am I going to be at worship this weekend? And you start deciding that, making that decision about whether or not to worship on Sunday morning, about 8:40. Should we? And then it's not long before you've slipped and you're busy. And then here's what happens. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to American Christians. Here's what happens. Then all of a sudden, you go through some difficult season at work, in your marriage, health diagnoses, some total variable you never expected. And you're like, Jesus, where are you? And here's the point. He's back where you left him. That's why Jesus' brother said this, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So what Jesus' brother, James, is saying is, you didn't move away from God. God didn't move away from you. It was your decision. And so he says, submit therefore to God, clean your hands, and the devil will flee from you. So this first point is for believers, to just acknowledge that we're in a constant, our default mode is to slip away. It's our nature. Okay, so reverse your direction. Start practicing those disciplines that you did when you had an as-you-wish relationship with Jesus, which means you were enjoying his grace, you were enjoying prayer, you thought there was a time when you thought this was the most incredible book on the planet. Let me just remind you, it's still the most incredible book on the planet. There was a time when you loved to come and worship. It's still the time to come and worship. Hasn't changed. There was a time when you loved to be around crazy faith Christians in a group because they just fed your soul. God spoke through them. There are still crazy faith Christians that you can gather within a group that will feed your soul. So reverse your direction. Okay, number two, just 8 points this morning. Number two, Jesus can be found, just kidding. Jesus can be found among learners and leaders. So where was he? Where he was supposed to be? Learning and leading. If you know anything about historic Hebrew community, Hebrew culture, Hebrew education, it has changed. It has had dramatic influence on Western law throughout the centuries. The Hebrews have been incredible learners. On the East Coast, the Hasidic Jews are still incredible learners, and as a result, many are doctors and lawyers. They practice memorizing the Torah. They're learners. We're called to be the same. Like the early Bereans, when they heard the Apostle Paul preach, they would double-check the Apostle Paul to make certain the scriptures supported what he was saying. How audacious. No, it's what learners do. And so we're called to be learners. We're called to be with leaders. This picture, recent picture of some of my Bayside friends, they're on the southern part of the wall at Jerusalem, right near the gates of Hulda, which may not mean a lot to you. But these very footsteps are the footsteps where it is believed, it is presumed that Jesus actually was dialoguing with those elders and teachers in the first century. Right here. That's where his parents found him. And this is a broader look. This is looking down those steps. Right here to your upper left-hand corner is the Mount of Olives. Down this slope, this is the City of David across the street. It's an awesome place. Hezekiah's Tunnel. Scary is scary. Anyways, I highly recommend it. But here's what I'm really highly recommending. I'm saying make the decision to enroll as a learner and a leader. Hang around people who help you get smarter, who help you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Surround yourself with people. Take advantage of all the tools online. Here's a few that I use. I highly recommend this teacher. It's just called Verse by Verse Ministry. I often listen to his podcasts on for my messages. I listen to it on this one. Great teacher, simple guy. He's a layman at a church in Texas who's got thousands of downloads all the time for his incredible teaching. Listen to him regularly. Make a decision if you haven't yet to experience Rooted. It'll challenge you in knowledge, but it'll really challenge you in volition, obeying the Lord in your walk with Christ. Consider next year reading through the Bible in its entirety. Or if that freaks you out, read Mark or John or Matthew, one of those first century documents. Become a learner. We are all very smart people. Very smart. And we should be giving God our mind in a wholehearted worship way. This is what the early church did. Day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, the leaders never stopped teaching. In Hebrews, Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says this, "Don't give up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another." And part of being a learner is being humble. And that's why Jesus' brother says, God opposes to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And again, James says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And Jesus said, those who humble themselves will be exalted. Maintain an attitude of teachability. Be a lifelong learner. Proverbs says, the way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Assume you have foolish tendencies. Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Be in a group. Be in community where you can learn. And so I challenge you to give God 90 days. Give him 90 days with your mind. Start this month, start in January, give him 90 days. Take notes during the message time. If you don't agree with something, fire off an email. Hey, what'd you mean by that? It's how you learn. Get in an adventure group next year, next February. Getting in Rooted next February. Our adventure group is going to do a walk through the Bible. We're going to walk through it as a group. We've all graduated from Rooted, and now we're just going to go deeper into the Bible. Take some sort of challenge to love God and grow in your knowledge of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Our goal is not that you just get really smart, okay? The goal is not that you're just high IQ, smart. It's not the goal. The goal is obedience. You can be super smart right here. But as C.S. Lewis would say, you're soft-chested here. There's no obedience. There's no compassion. There's no courage. There's no patience. There's no character. High IQ, low EQ. And so Christ desires that you don't just hear the word, but you obey it. You become an obedient, glorifying disciple. And so that's why Jesus can be found working for the Father. And you're asked to join him in the work. Why were you searching for me, he asked. Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? So how? How do you join the Father in his work? You find out where God is working and you join him. Jesus said, my Father is always working. And in fact, after he had a dialogue with the woman at the well of Samaria, remember that story in John chapter 5? His disciples caught up to him and they said, hey, you haven't had anything to eat. Which personally, I like it when people are concerned that I haven't had anything to eat. But they come up to Jesus and they say, you haven't had anything to eat. And he says, I have a food that you don't know of. It's to do the work of my Father. Here's the idea. God has designed you in such a way that there is a pleasure you will get that's greater than eating when it comes to serving the Lord. And so how do you know where to serve? You find out where God is working and you join him in that service. And we give you ample opportunity here at Adventure, and there's ample opportunity in our community. But here's the deal. If your faith is all about just growing intellectually and not serving, you're missing the whole point. Here's why. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So if you're maybe a Christian, you've been in the church a long time, but you're just in the church. You just do this. This. Let me help. This. So sometimes you do this, but usually it's just this. You're not getting the point. You'll grow more in your faith, not just by growing in IQ, by growing in service. If you're not serving, you don't get the point. Where do you start serving? Here's where you start serving. You start serving in an area that brings you joy. 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 So here's the challenge. Let's not go through this month without Jesus. It's not hard to do, is it? Let's not. Let's make certain that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Mary, let's circle back to Mary and Joseph as we close. Mary never lost Jesus again. See, because in the first century document that Jesus' most beloved disciple recorded, he says that after Christ's crucifixion, while he was up on the cross, breathing his last, he records that near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. She didn't lose her son again. His mother's sister was there. Mary, the wife of Clopas, was there, and Mary Magdalene. That's a lot of Marys. And when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here's your son. And to the disciple, here's your mother. And that from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. He loved Jesus' mother like Jesus loved his own mother. Jesus was never misplaced again by his own mother. She was there at the cross. She learned that it's easy to get on a path, on a rhythm, to be walking at a speed, doing life at a speed where she could miss her own son. We all can do that. This Christmas, let's enjoy a blessed Christmas, not a stressed Christmas. And how do we enjoy a blessed Christmas? It's by this. Don't lose Jesus. Don't lose Jesus. Not just for your sake, but remember, there's folks out there that aren't looking for a baby Jesus in a nativity scene. There's folks out there that are missing the Jesus that can bring them hope. And folks, that's our job. That's why we're reaching out with golden tickets, is we want to share the community of Christ with them and love them. Are you in? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this template of Mary and Joseph that reminds us, if Mary and Joseph can leave Jesus behind, whoa, we just might be vulnerable to the same. If you're here today and you were challenged to start practicing some of those habits that you practiced when you first came to Christ, treasuring the scriptures, treasuring prayer, treasuring being with other believers, treasuring worship. If today you're like, I need to reset in that area of my life and start having an as-you-wish relationship with Jesus. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If that's you. Anybody? Yes, great. Lord, you see those who've been touched, and I pray that you would help them take a step today towards returning to their first love. If you were here and you were challenged to become more of a learner, to grow in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Great. Father, I pray for these adventurers who are like, I want to learn more. I want to grow more. I want to understand the why behind what I believe. I pray you'd give them an opportunity. And if you're here today and you've been challenged to move beyond just IQ, but move towards service, if that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Great. Father, you see those who've said yes. I pray that your spirit would prompt them today about where they could serve and how it could bring them joy. And if you're here today and you've never made a decision to believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins, was buried, and resurrected from the dead, that he wants to give you life abundant, and you're ready to make that decision, right from where you're seated, I invite you to say, Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life. Jesus, I want you to be Lord. And if that's your prayer today, right from where you're seated, I'd like you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone? say yes to Jesus today? Anyone, for the first time saying, yes, I want to believe in him. Lord, be with my brothers and sisters this week. Help us enjoy a blessed Christmas season, not a stressed one. Help us ensure we don't leave Jesus behind. In Jesus' name, amen.